title of it is Prayer, a Divine Tool. And as you're turning to Luke 11, I want you to really begin to open your spirits up, because as we have been progressing, you're getting more and more meat, you're getting less and less milk. And that's what God wants. He wants the church to mature. And for us, it's in every aspect. And today we're going to be talking about prayer. Jesse has spent the last couple of weeks really breaking the ice. And she did not know that God had brought this onto my heart. And so what I'm going to do is use what she has said as a springboard to begin to lay the foundation as to really developing a prayer life over and above what we have right now. And in Luke 11, 1, it's the only verse we're going to deal with, is, "Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples.'" Teach us to pray. Jesus was praying, and Jesus is the pattern for our existence, period. Everything that Jesus did was to model how we are to live as believers in this world in preparation to receiving the fullness of the kingdom. Amen? And Jesse showed us that last couple weeks about intercessory prayer. And really, all prayer is intercessory prayer, whether you understand it or not. That's the truth. Because generally what we do is we're either interceding for ourselves or interceding for someone else. But we're interceding because we want something from God. And she said that it was temporal, tactical, and finally strategical in that these prayers. And where we are determines what level we're at. Some of us are at the temporal level. We can't get out of God. I need this. God, I need that. Well, God already knows you need that. He knows it before you even ask. And there's nothing wrong in asking. It's being focused on that particular issue of your life. And what we do is we become problem fixated, not God fixated. Amen? From there we go tactical. What we do is we're asking God to do certain things for us, and God begins to move in those areas for us, and we see Him doing things. We're able to discern what He is doing for us. And finally there is strategical, where the strategy of what it is really flowing in the will of God to accomplish what the Holy Spirit wants the church to do and us individually through that. And so what God has been laying on my heart is to begin to start taking us from a juvenile walk into a more an adult walk in Scripture, so that we can understand that these tools, the tool of prayer, is not to be something that's laborious, but something that is to be vibrant. It's supposed to be alive and knowing to pray things into existence. And I really appreciate what Pastor Keith had said. You know, we are creationists. What we say will come. We create it whether we're paying attention to what's coming out of our mouth or not. If we're not opening our mouths and not saying anything, that is a problem. If all we're doing is internalizing, God can hear us, but He wants us to speak it. Why? Because there's power in speech, and we're declarating before the enemy what we believe God wants to happen. Amen? So if you're not speaking forth, I encourage you to start opening your mouth and start uttering the words that God's given to you, because they're God words. And He wants these things coming forth. He doesn't want us to be problem fixated. He wants us to pray. And all of us know we need to pray, but there is something that we have to understand. We stand at a crossroads. Knowing to pray and knowing what to pray for are two different and distinct things. Right? And I believe all of us pray, and I believe all of us have a prayer life, but I believe we don't know what to pray for. We don't know exactly what the will of God is. And so what we do is we pray on the run. We pray when we make time for God. But the reality of it is we don't make time for God. God is so far below the priority list, it's ridiculous. And I have to reiterate that kingdom thinking, kingdom people, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. If you don't have God as number one priority, then you need to be adjusted. And I'm praying that the Holy Spirit does it, because He is adjusting me to get me to even a higher level. I have to see a greater distance. I have to be able to lead this congregation in a way that promotes the kingdom of God and promotes the gifts and talents that God has brought to us. And to sit and not be in a position of promotion is kind of crazy, because that's what the church in Western society is filled with. It's filled with a bunch of people who don't understand how vital it is to be praying. The Muslims understand it. And in their legalism, they're praying 5 to 7 times a day. And that is why they're the fastest growing cult in the world. Cult because they don't believe in Jesus Christ as God. They believe in Jesus Christ. They just don't believe Him as God. Have you ever noticed how a master mechanic has the right tool for the right job? That you can take your car into a garage, and there is nothing that guy can't fix. Right? Now, if we try to fix the car, we don't have all the right tools, and so we will use whatever tool that's handy trying to accomplish that which a master mechanic can use. Right? And I know I tend to be that way, because I don't like spending money for the tools. But I've come to realize that me being thrifty, or better known as cheap, creates other factors in my life that really is not good. Plumbers understand this. They need the right pipe wrench to do the right piping. They need the right tool to do this and do that. Carpenters, they need the right saws. They need the right nails, the hand tools, whatever it is, to do their job. And I believe that we know what to do when it comes to prayer. We just don't know how to get to that next level. And so what we're going to do is we're going to spend some time, probably to the end of the year, about prayer. Getting prayer in such a way that we line up with God, not God lining up with us. See, and that's a different kind of mindset. We need to understand that where we are in our prayer lives is nothing different than having a master mechanic and us fixing something. We grab whatever tool is handy, but not necessarily is it the right one to get the job done. And I believe that you know, some of us have given up on our prayer lives because we're not seeing God move in there. Well, could it possibly be that if we're doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result, that maybe we're not using the right tool? Right? I mean, I know around in this house, and when the kids were really young, I never realized that a screwdriver had so many uses. I really didn't. I found screwdrivers used as chisels. I found screwdrivers used as awls. I found screwdrivers used as line markers. You know, you put a stake down in the ground, that happened to be some of my screwdrivers, and then you string a string to it and you use it for something. I mean, my tools were being used and abused, but they accomplished what I needed to do. It just created frustration in not using the proper tool for it. God wants us to understand that where we are in our prayer lives is nothing more than where we were before. We're temporal, trying to enter into spiritual, and we haven't understood that there are rules to the game. Let me give you an illustration. We all see kids, and we see newborns, and you know, the newborn is great, but when that newborn is there, the baby needs all the care and attention, right? But as the child starts to grow and starts to mature, it begins to watch what we're doing. And so sooner or later, I find the first things that happened was they start fighting. They want to feed themselves because they're watching mom and dad feed themselves. And then from there, they want to learn how to dress themselves, because after all, mom and dad are dressing themselves. And I found my kids learn how to undress themselves very well. They just didn't know how to dress themselves very well. And so from there, they progressed to learning how to sit up and then progressed to crawling. And eventually they started to stand up. And eventually they began to walk. A great accomplishment. And we're there, we're encouraging our kids to do all this stuff. And then finally they learn to speak. They're watching us and they're listening to us and they're seeing the examples that are set before us. What are we feeding our kids spiritually? What example are we setting before our kids spiritually? Now, all you guys know, because Jesse, she's been there when she's seen me in prayer time. She knows that my prayer life is there. I've not been ashamed about my prayer life, and studying the Word of God and being involved with prayer and all that. So my kids see the reality of what's going on. And they said something yesterday that I don't know if anybody else caught it, but we are really great about teaching this generation. What about the next one? You see, and that's my concern, because I've always said to the leaders, it's not so much me pouring into you, it's what you pour into the next one. I'm always a generation out there looking, because, if we are not growing people up properly in the Spirit of God and with the understanding of what God wants for us, then what we have is we have people sitting in pews or chairs or whatever that are not progressing. And because they're not progressing, the spirit of religion comes in and they take the things that are meant to give them life and they turn them into bondage. And what happens is we relegate that religious mindset that I have to pray, but I don't pray because I'm so busy doing everything else. So the priorities of prayer is not there. And what we need to do is turn it upside right in such a way that the first priority that we have is talking with our Father. It's the first priority of everything. You see, we're sitting here like little kids. We've learned to sit up, some of us. Some of us have learned to crawl in the Spirit. Some of us have even learned to stand in the Spirit. And some of us have even been able to speak by the Spirit. But we have not progressed any further. Now, what does this progression look like? This progression looks like how our kids, when they're old enough, they're 5 to 6 years old. And Ian is really great because he tells me, he's going to go to school and he's going to be just like his big brother. Going to school and he's going to learn all kinds of new things. Well, our big brother went to school for us, and he set an example for us. Jesus is his name, and Jesus is the one who set these examples for us to show us that there is a greater thing that God wants to bring us to in our prayer lives. Amen? And in that prayer life situation, what we did before was just the beginning. There is so much more that God wants for us to have, but not necessarily is it in the home that we find it. And what do? We send our kids to school. Our kids learn, how to add and subtract and alphabet and phonics and learn how to put sentences together or their addresses and stuff. And while they're in school, they're learning all this new stuff. Why? In preparation for future. Isn't that true? So why don't we have the same mindset with our spirits? See, the question yesterday was, do you know where you're at? Do you know where your position is? You see, for me, as a pastor, I see where my position is. I see where I want to go. But I know I have to do certain things in order to release me to do that. That releasing requires you guys to grow up in all things in Christ Jesus to the level where I'm at so I can go and serve better. And those opportunities are coming. Why? One, because God found me faithful. Two, He has provided me with opportunity. Three, those things that I have been doing have now fallen upon you guys. And that's because of my prayers. See, my prayers are strategical. I'm not bragging. I've just learned differences in prayer. in how to really come into this area of understanding that there's nothing that's going to happen unless God approves it first. We're not going to do anything unless the Spirit tells us to do it. And that has been what Streams has been built upon. Not ideas, not good things, you know, good notions and stuff, but what God wants to do. And I believe that if you are not seeing fruit from your prayer life, I believe you're probably in one of those levels, and probably at the first level of temporal, that God wants to bring you up to another stage. Well, how do you get to that stage? Well, it's to understand that in order in the spiritual game, there are rules that we must abide by. Well, we don't know what those rules are, right? When we're invited to play a game that we've never played before, we have to learn what the rules are first, right? Now, how many of us knew how to play Monopoly when we first sat down to play the game? None of us, right? So what's the first thing? We get educated into those rules. Second, we become participants of those rules by applying those things that we've learned in the game. We know that there's rules and regulations in life. And if we apply those rules and regulations to our life, we should meet good outcomes of our life. It's not a guarantee, but we should if we abide by the rules. Now, there are some people who are wicked that do not abide by the rules. They look like they abide by the rules. But eventually, the wicked will be brought into an account because they have not played against the rules. And so what makes us think that if we're doing something that we know to do now, but we don't know what to pray for, but we know we're praying as hard as we can, but now our prayer life is falling off, don't you think that there are rules that Jesus wants to teach us about how to pray? How to have a revolutionary, radical, revitalized prayer life in such a way that now, when we first prayed, God honored those prayers. But now it's to a point where we're not seeing those things happen. And God says, come on up here. There's something I want to show you. Come up here. There's something I want you to think about a little bit different. Come up here. I want to teach you a better way. What you learned before was only the elementary principles of what you need to learn. Ephesians 6:16 says, praying in all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. We learned that in Ephesians to put on the armor, right? We know that if we don't have the armor of God on, it doesn't matter what we're praying, we are not dressed for war. And we will be taken out very quickly. We know that Ephesians 6:14 talks about us standing firmly in Christ. We're no longer babes, we're now learning to stand up, take our position in Jesus Christ. Amen? So if we've learned to dress in Jesus Christ, now we're learning to stand in Jesus Christ. Finally, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. That should tell us that we need to do something a little bit different. And I don't know about you, but I want to see greater results. I want to see God move mightily in us. I want to see God move mightily through us to affect our families, to affect our children, to affect our relatives, to affect people that we work with. I want to see Streams explode, not just spiritually for ourselves, because all that means that we're getting fat. We're not effective. What we need to do is begin to implement some of these teachings. We also know that without faith, it's impossible to please God. We know that if we don't implement faith in what we've heard, we don't grow. So we know that in Hebrews 11:1, that without faith, it's impossible. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We know that faith is now. So we have to take faith now. What we learned yesterday, now we've got to take our faith and implement it. Amen? If we're not in position, we need to see where the position is that we need to go and recognize the position that we're at. Next, it says that we need to get faith. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God, according to Romans 10. Verse 17. Once we have faith, we're implementing faith. Then the next thing we need to do is that as we're exercising this faith, we become pleasing to God. Do you think it pleases God that we're staying juvenile and doing the same things over and over again, not growing up in God? That's like somebody who matures at a rapid rate, but is still a child. And we have people like that. There's an accelerated aging process with a lot of these kids that they don't live to past 12 or 13 years of age. Their acceleration of old age is such that they remain a child. And that's what happens to us spiritually. We grow up physically, but spiritually we're stunted. And God wants to grow us up. And this is the whole purpose of this. It is so that Christ can be exalted through our lives. If we don't know what Daddy wants for us, we don't know how to please Him. If we don't know how to please Him, we are not growing because we can't take faith, which is being stolen from us because we're in bondage to religion. Right? Today, modern Christianity in the Western societies have become nothing more than a cultural religion. Cultural. We know we got to go and worship God, so we go worship God. Okay, fine. Churches are filled with believers that take their faith lightly and their relationship to Christ for granted. I'm a believer. I can go to any church I want to. Okay, you can. And you'll remain retarded for the rest of your life, spiritually speaking. You are hindering what God wants to do in your life. They in turn train their children that a relationship with God has little or no boundaries. There are no demands of discipleship or even have a lower understanding of the holiness of God and His commandment to be holy as He's holy. What we do is because we take for granted who we are in Jesus Christ, we don't have to do anything. God loves me just the way I am. That's true. And He wants to change you. You see, He's not even accepting the fact that where you are, He doesn't want you to be there tomorrow. He doesn't want you to be there next week. He does not want you to be there ever again. He wants you to grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ. Isn't that what Ephesians 4 is all about? That we all grow up into the fullness of Christ. No demands on discipleship or even an understanding of holiness. It really gets me when I question the leaders about how they're doing with discipleship. And some of the statements that come back out, I am amazed. Because my first thing in the flesh is, why are they even Christians? The idea here, see, my idea is to grow you up, not to keep you as a juvenile or an infant. My job is to help you find your calling and then provide a means for you to get to that calling because the church is dependent upon you. And what happens is we come to church with this mindset, feed me, take care of me, do this for me, do that for me. Well, you know what? That's not going to work forever and ever. Eventually, you don't work, you don't eat. What makes you think it's the responsibility of the church to take care of you? Our responsibility is to help you get to that place. And if part of that place is helping you in your physical needs, we will do that. If our job is to help you with spiritual needs, we want to do that for you. But ultimately, we're not going to be the surrogate for God. It is God who died for you, not the church, not me. And you guys should know me well enough that, you know, I'm going to help you as much as I can, but I'm also asking, what's God saying to you? What's going on in your life? You see, we talked about, you know, getting into the dirt and finding out what's going on in people's lives. People who don't want the things of God won't tell you what's going on in their lives. They think that we have to know this by osmosis. Well, then you don't understand what relationship is. You don't understand what kind of relationship you're in because you don't understand what God has created. And you don't understand where He wants to take you. because we don't value our personal holiness or our prayer life suffers. And when that happens, we lose the fear of God. And when we lose the fear of God, we backslide. You see, when I'm seeking God, I can't approach Him in my filthy rags. You can't approach Him in your filthy rags. That's the reason for Christ. And maybe because some of the reason is that you've got junk in your life that God's been wanting to get rid of that you're not willing to part with. And so your prayers are running up into the ceiling of brass, hits the top and bounces back. Maybe what you need to do is do a self-examination. Maybe what you need to do is eradicate those things that are keeping your relationship from God from growing. I don't know. I'm throwing these things out. But one thing I do know is I'm not going to let a spirit of religion, I'm not going to let a spirit of rebellion, I'm not going to let any spirit throw me into bondage to keep me from what my Father wants. We talked yesterday about falling forward. It's okay to make a mistake as long as you're moving in the direction that you need to go. But to jettison the things that you really need for life, liberty, and freedom in Jesus Christ, and prayer is one of them, that's crazy. So what do we got to do? What do we got to do at this stage? Well, first of all, we don't have to do anything. Your prayer life is your prayer life. Okay? What you have to do is let the Holy Spirit into your life and let Him examine you. What is it that's keeping you in bondage so that the Holy Spirit can lift you up so that you can begin to start seeing things from a different perspective? Well, you don't understand, Pastor, my job. You know what? I got one too. I worked rotating shifts. But never, and you could ask my kids, ask my wife, never, when there was something that God, a God event coming, that did not stop me. Why? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That is burned into me. Now, it distressed my wife. It distressed my kids. But you know what? They are now benefactors of me seeking God because I became a better father. I became a better husband. I became a better person. I became what God has created me to become. I'm becoming a better shepherd for you guys. I'm becoming a better watchman for the body of Christ. And I'm still not satisfied. Maybe we're satisfied. And if that's where you're at, that's where you're at. I can't change that for you. But prayer is the divine tool. We're going to learn things. We're going to learn about prayer. We're going to learn how Jesus modeled them. Some of the things that we're going to learn that God really wants us to understand is we're going to learn about the prayer of faith. You ever read in the scriptures where it says, you know, call upon the elders and the prayer of faith shall heal you? We're going to talk about that. We're going to learn what that means. We're going to see what the prayer of agreement is. When two or more agree on anything, how to utilize that, when to utilize it. The prayer of binding and loosing. You know what? There's a right way of binding and a wrong way of binding. Sometimes we bind heaven's hands before we can. We let the enemy run ramshot all over the church. We need to understand how to use this. A prayer of consecration and dedication. A prayer of praise and worship. The prayer of intercession. The prayer of supplication. These are tools that we need to become acquainted with and utilize in the proper way. We can't just take that screwdriver out and expect it to do something that a saw does. Why would we expect our infantile mentality of prayer to think that what we're doing is okay? God may be speaking to somebody and says, He's been speaking to me. I mean, He is literally tearing me up inside. And I talked with Pastor Keith yesterday and reminded him so lovingly that he never asked me to teach about covenant at the men's conference. He says, I know, but the Holy Spirit told me you would be the candidate. And I said, that's good enough for me. I sent him an outline. I asked him if he got the outline. He goes, oh, yeah, you're going to have fun. I said, I hope so. You see, I think God is positioning us in a position that our disobedience is going to drastically affect what we can do. Maintaining sin in our lives is going to drastically affect what we can do. Remaining where we are and not wanting more of God. And I'm talking about all of us together. I'm not talking about individuals. Remaining where we are could keep us from receiving the fullness of God and fulfilling a destiny that is so full of things that what He has shown me. I need you guys. I need you to step up in your prayer life. I need you to start allowing the Holy Spirit to examine you. As Dan's saying, you know, coming away from DNA, I mean, you can't come away not being challenged. You can't come away without examining yourself. You just can't come away. And to stay away is not the option, because eventually God is going to hunt you down. He loves you so much. He died for you. He died for me. You see, what I'm saying in all this, to wrap it up, prayer is our lifeblood. If we are not connected to Jesus, then we don't have life. If we're not connected to the head, we become cancer to the body because we're still doing our own thing. And I know those of you that have studied anatomy and stuff understand that cancer, left unchecked, will kill you. A prayer life that does not step up will enslave you and then eventually kill you, because you have no life flowing into your spirit. And that's not my desire nor God's desire. But you have that choice. You have that freedom. But as long as I'm shepherd here at Streams, I will exhort you to greater things, greater possibilities, because the potential in you, you have not realized. And all those who are naysayers and want to keep you from becoming all that God wants you, you know what? You're either going to listen to God, who has infinite possibilities, or you'll listen to those with infinite impossibilities. But for me, I'm plugging into God. I'm plugging into Him deeper. I want more of God. I want to know what He's doing. I want to be on the front lines. And I know you guys do too. Do not let the spirit of fear grab your heart and mind. God has filled you with His eternal spirit. Release it. Press into it. Find out what it is He wants you to do, and then do it. If it's too big for you to do it, come talk to me. We'll see how we can together make this thing happen. But plug in. Amen? Father, we just come before You, Lord God. We want to be able to use Your divine tools, Lord. We want to understand that where we are and where You're taking us is two different places. And Father, I know You understand. That's scary. That takes courage. But God, even as I go forward, God, I want to grab a hold of those behind me, God, and not yank them forward, but God, reassure them that it's okay. Jesus, You went before us and You looked back and You saw You saw all of us. And you counted it all joy to go to the cross for us, to be that living sacrifice. Holy Spirit, you were sent to teach us, to guide us, to educate us into all truth. But most importantly, to help grow us up into all things in Christ Jesus. Holy Spirit, start in our prayer lives. Start in our prayer lives. Help us to jettison those things that you wanted us to jettison a long time ago. Help us to be that grain or that seed that falls into the ground and dies so that it produces much fruit for your glory, God. So that it would produce a harvest unto you, Lord. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.